Are you somebody who gets sick of waiting? Maybe you are waiting for the budget. What about for the election to be officially called? Waiting is something we do pretty much every day, whether it's waiting in the queue at the supermarket, an airport, peak hour traffic, maybe for a meal to arrive, or surely one of the most agonising, waiting on hold. We all do a lot of waiting, but there are some interesting mind tricks at play when it comes to how we deal with waiting. Adam Bully is from the School of Psychology at the University of Queensland. Good afternoon to you, Adam.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
What is it about waiting that can make people feel so stressed and tense?
Yeah, well, as you point out, waiting is a rather aversive experience, regardless of whether it's something that we wish to happen that we're waiting for or whether it's something that we'd rather not undergo. And psychologists have really focused on the former, that is, how we cope with or how we manage the wait that lies between the present moment and a desirable future outcome, something that we wish to occur.
I suppose that's the point we should have gone to first, wasn't it? The very concept of there's sitting around doing nothing and there's actually waiting. I suppose it's about expecting or hoping for something to happen. That's what constitutes a wait.
Yes, the wait could be considered the psychological processes involved in the interim time between the present and some desirable future outcome. And what psychologists have found is that this is a trait that is shared universally with other animals and indeed between cultures, is that we prefer the immediate. We don't like to wait. We prefer the here and now rather than the then and then. And so one of the key reasons for that is that the future is rather uncertain. And so it makes sense to capitalize on immediate rewards when we can get them, rather than to delay for a future which might not eventuate as we would have expected it to or as we might like it to.
I'm counting the bird in my hand as opposed to those two that
happened
in the bush.
Absolutely.
Okay. You mentioned the concept of uncertainty. Does that add to the stress?
The uncertainty has a different role to play depending on the context of the choice. But in environments where we're dealing with something unpleasant, you know, maybe a dentist appointment or something that we're waiting for that's rather aversive, uncertainty can actually ramp that up. It can make it a rather more stressful experience than it otherwise would have been, because the uncertainty introduces anxiety. And uncertainty, indeed, is one of the key factors involved in anxiety, is that we don't know how it's going to unfold, and that introduces additional stress into the waiting process.
I suppose that could apply to a federal budget as well.
Well, it depends on how you're framing it, right? Whether it's something to look forward to or to dread.
Oh, absolutely, look forward to. We have seen the fact that some of the research done into psychology of things like queuing suggests that people are more concerned with how physically long a line is as opposed to how fast it's moving. That says something about our brain, doesn't it?
It does. It suggests that people use the most salient aspects of a choice situation to make their decisions. We're not capable of making accurate timed estimates about how long different queues are taking. And so what we do is we substitute that problem for a far simpler one, which is how many people are in each line and which queue should I therefore join on account of that. So in a way, it's a fast and frugal decision-making strategy that people use, because we're just not capable of taking into account all of the available information and making informed decisions that would perhaps be better.
Is there a suggestion that perhaps those who are, I don't know, better off or more entitled in life feel that they shouldn't have to wait as long?
Well, recently there's been a wide-scale study done about the cross-cultural aspects of waiting. And what they did, it was a group of economists from Germany. They surveyed 53 countries and they asked people whether they would prefer a smaller immediate reward or a reward that was larger but delayed in time. And what they found was that there's a great deal of variability between cultures in how much people have a propensity to wait, or how much they're keen to wait for the larger reward after a delay. And what you find is that relatively poorer countries do indeed appear to be more present focused. And that could be largely down to the fact that in those environments, the future is more uncertain, and it makes sense to prioritize immediate opportunities when you can get them, rather than waiting for a delayed reward once again that might not actually eventuate.
I like the fact that the explanation there is that it's maybe because things are uncertain, or we're more necessary to take that option, as opposed to we've just got a little bit greedy and we're used to being able to fork out money to make something happen immediately. And when we can't do that, we get frustrated.
Yeah, well, that may be an aspect of it as well, when we get impatient about the fact that, you know, as you kind of mentioned earlier about waiting for a red traffic light or something, we feel an entitlement that we have other things to do. And that's actually a key reason why we are impatient as well, is that there's an opportunity cost associated with waiting. There are other things we could be doing and might rather be doing.
Because quite often, I think, and this is definitely not just other people, but I'm one who falls for this, you tend to have in your mind that your time is most important because it's me, and therefore you're doing something which is making me wait, therefore you need to fix this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Tell me then about the concept of different cultures, because you mentioned the fact that it does happen differently in different nationalities, different cultures. Anyone who's travelled in different parts of the world know that occasionally time can move differently.
And that's a key point. I mean, it turns out, in fact, that the way that we perceive time moving varies between individuals and perhaps between cultures. And indeed, filled time often feels like it's passing more quickly than unfilled time. And so when you're waiting for something and you have nothing else to do, it can often feel like it's taking an unbelievably long amount of time, rather than when you have distractions available, it can actually feel like it's passing rather quickly.
Absolutely. I think anyone knows about that topic. It's about 14 past three on 612 ABC Brisbane. Adam Bulley is our guest. He is from the University of Queensland School of Psychology. We are talking about waiting. Interesting to know your thoughts this afternoon on this. How do you cope with waiting? You can send us a text message 0467 922 612, or you can call us 1300 222 612. Are there ways of waiting that make it better?
Well, one of the primary ways that people deal with waiting is to distract themselves. And what a lot of the psychological research suggests is that people will adopt thinking strategies, which are a way of self-destructive coping. So we'll try to think about something else other than the wait, or we'll engage in some other behavior which is unrelated to the wait. We kind of take our mind off it. And it turns out that this is also shared with our closest living relatives. Chimpanzees do this as well. They're capable of waiting much longer when they have toys available to play with. And likewise, young children, if they can play with toys around them, if they're given toys to play with, they're often much more capable of delaying their gratification in pursuit of a larger, later reward, and they become more patient.
The concept of a larger, later reward is all very well if you're doing a test, but if it's literally just a case of this will happen, it's exactly a question of whether it happens now, 10 minutes, or in 2 hours.
And once again, you see the key role for uncertainty there. And when people have a certain amount of control over a situation, they prefer that, obviously. Mm. When you have a lack of control, it can actually increase the aversiveness of the experience.
How hard is it to sit back and just to go, you know what, there's nothing that I can do here to make something happen faster, So I'll just wait. How hard is that for a standard mature human being?
People find it very difficult. And it's like I said earlier, it's a kind of a universal trait that people prefer the immediate rather than the delayed. And this is something which is very difficult to shift. Some very exciting recent psychological research has hinted at ways we might better deal with this. And one of those ways is framing the future in a different way. And so there's recent research that suggests that if you can get people to imagine the outcome, desirable outcome of a task or a goal, then that can actually make them more patient and more capable of dealing with that weight in a perhaps more adaptive way.
Does that make for a happier person generally?
It might, because if you consider those studies of children, I don't know if your listeners are aware of these studies, but they were done during the 1960s and 1970s by a psychologist at Stanford called Walter Mischel. And he found that children who were more capable of delaying their gratification, what they had to do was wait for a second marshmallow rather than eating the one that was in their possession right now. Those children actually ended up being the ones who were more likely to attain academic success, social success, and health success down the line.
It did form part, I know, of the longitudinal study, something that the ABC has been showing on television. Anyone mm-hmm. who's caught up with that, the Life series.
Yep.
I forget what they're up to, Life at 11 or something like that, Life at 9. It's progressing quite well. And that is something that you can extrapolate to later outcomes.
You can. Those things are linked. And it looks like the reason for that is that the ability to overcome immediate temptations, that is what psychologists call to delay our gratification, is a key variable in attaining success in a number of domains. If you think of a health example, you know, you might have the initial choice to go on a diet, and that means not ordering the extra bowl of fries at lunch. But then when conflicted by the fact that your friend has ordered fries, it might be a little bit difficult to overcome that temptation. And so the better you are at doing that, the more likely you are to succeed on the initial goal or task that you set yourself out.
Absolutely rubbish. Thank you very much for bringing up the bowl of fries. That's just what I needed mid-afternoon on 612 ABC Brisbane. Well, finally.
Now you have to resist that temptation.
Thankfully, we don't deep fry too much here in the studio. When and can waiting make you feel good, or can it make something better as a result of the wait?
Waiting can feel good, and there were some very interesting studies done by an economist, George Lowenstein, during the 80s, and he found that people were actually willing to pay more money for a kiss with their favourite celebrity, a hypothetical kiss with their favourite celebrity, when it was delayed rather than when it was immediate. And that seemed initially puzzling because, based on what I've been telling you so far, people should prefer the here and now. They should prefer the immediate aspects. But what it turns out is that people are actually factoring in the anticipation, the joy of the excitement between now and that beneficial event. And they're using that to make their decisions. And so there are certain circumstances where, you know, if you think of a person camping out all night to get tickets for their favorite band, there's a certain joy in that exercise, in that anticipation that people use when making these kinds of choices. And so I suppose if you're willing to savor the opportunity to wait, then I suppose it can be beneficial if it's something good that you're waiting for, yeah.
And if it's on your terms, I suppose, is the other point here, is if this is something where you're jumping onto a website trying and you just can't get through.
There's nothing at all pleasurable about that.
No, but if you've taken the option of camping out. Interesting to hear this afternoon. Adam, I do have to finish by asking you, how are you at waiting?
I'm rather good at waiting when I'm employing these types of strategies, but like everyone, I fall into the temptations from time to time as well. We all do.
We appreciate you taking the time waiting to speak to us this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me.
Adam Bulley from the University of Queensland School of Psychology.